Sailors surround Jonah as the storm is erupting, tossing them to and fro. And in disbelief, they hear his tale of running from God.
This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?"
Jonah, what were you thinking?
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord.
I am a prophet. I hear the word of the Lord. And I'm also the son of Amittai, the son of truth. That's who I am. And I know Nineveh. I spit on them. They're my hated enemy, a violent city. And I have a lot more thoughts about that. I know. I'll run away. I'll run far away. I will not be used by God to bring his word to those people. Really? Like, what was Jonah thinking? Where are these thoughts coming from, and what are they based on? His prayer in chapter 2 includes quotes from the Psalms. But he's definitely not thinking what the psalmist wrote in another place right now.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
It's interesting as the story progresses. For the psalmist, next line reads this.
If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there.
Oh, speaking of a bed in the depths, let's go aboard the ship and set out to the deep blue sea. Sailors, what were you thinking?
Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish."
We're going to die. We are going to die. God, save me. God, where are you? Where's your God? Where's your God? My God's not here. God, why are you not listening? Let's save ourselves. Everybody should be crying out to their gods. The captain knows that. That's why he's gone below deck. And what is this passenger up to anyway? What's he thinking? To be asleep? Doesn't he have a God? Does he have a faith? And whose fault is this trouble we find ourselves in? If something is wrong, someone is wrong. That's what I think. Someone on the boat did something wrong. Therefore, that person's God is causing this wrong.
Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who was responsible for this calamity."
Is it possible that pagans, those who worship false gods, maybe even don't know they are gods, can they have a greater faith and a clearer thinking than many Christians who say they believe in and follow Jesus, as we respond to life often with a secular thought rather than spiritual? Certainly the sailors show more faith than Jonah in their thinking right now. Jonah, what are you thinking now?
They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who was responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land."
Here's what I think. These are the facts. I am a Hebrew, and I'm proud of it. Though my people are known as wanderers, the whole earth is ours because I worship the Lord, Jehovah of Israel, Elohim of heaven, creator of sea and land. So I thought, I don't want to do what the sovereign of the whole universe, creator of all, the Lord and master of me, his prophet, whose word I hear him proclaim. I don't want to do what he told me to do. I thought I would flee from his presence, go as far as possible from him who is everywhere, even get on a ship that will travel on the sea that he made and rules over. So I don't have to say a word he says needs to be said. So sailors, what do you think about that? Who is this crazy guy?
This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so.
Yes, we are terrified. Terrified. Well, Jonah over here, he's probably ready to go back to bed and finish his sleep. So extreme are these circumstances and so unresponsive are our gods that we're thinking this. This guy, crazy as he is the key. Hey, crazy guy, what will you do? Sailors, why the change of thinking?
The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased."
If we throw this guy to his death, we'll get punished. But if this guy's God is the Lord of heaven, sea, and land, we have no choice. We need to cry to him for mercy. Mercy based on us doing what he wants us to do.
Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him.
Wow. What just happened with these guys? The sailors hear that Jonah's God is over all creation, the Hebrew God. They choose to act on this and they cry out for mercy. Then they see it as true as the sea is calmed and they're thankful to him. And now they choose to surrender to him as their God. Jonah, why can't you think straight? You see, the sailors have little knowledge of God. And yet they think in line with the revealed truth that God is Lord and creator of the heavens, sea and land. That God is relational and perhaps merciful and loving. And they respond rightly to him in prayer, in sacrifices and vows. Jonah, on the other hand, has a much greater knowledge of God. And yet his actions are out of line with his beliefs. He knows God, has experienced God firsthand, been used by God, and yet he turns from God. Why? Why pagan sailors get it right and Jonah, prophet of God, get it so wrong? Because there's another line of thinking that dominates Jonah's mind, overpowering what he thinks of God. This is what he thinks of Nineveh. To Jonah, they are a people who deserve God's judgment. That's correct, but not its announcement. He thinks they do not deserve the opportunity to turn back to God. For his thinking of God in this is very accurate, even though he thinks God's thinking is wrong.
But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity."
Relents from sending calamity on the Ninevites. People of Nineveh, what are you thinking?
40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown.
It's pretty simple. We think the words of Jonah are true. We think God is true. We think judgment is coming. And we think we deserve it. We think that just maybe if we humble ourselves and cry out to God and turn to Him, He may show us mercy, for maybe He is a compassionate God.
The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth.
The Ninevites' thinking is summed up in the proclamation of the king of Nineveh.
When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish.
God may yet relent? God, what are you thinking?
When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened.
Jonah, he knows exactly what I think about both Nineveh and this world.
He prayed to the Lord. I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity.
But I do have some very serious thoughts about evil in this world.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown.
But these aren't my only thoughts. I have some specific thoughts about Nineveh, even though they are wicked, even though they have turned away from my love.
But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?
God thinks of his creation with great concern, with great love, both people and animals. He will judge evil, but he welcomes all who return to him and seek his mercy, his compassion, and his love. Jonah, stop and think.
From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me.
You see, Jonah does cry out, and he is saved, because God does love Jonah. And yet, it's interesting what follows his salvation experience in his prayer. I can't help but find some still judgmental thinking when he compares himself to the pagans.
Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you.
Do you see that? It's sort of ironic, isn't it? Sailors turning to God first, and yet he's quick to point finger at pagans when he is saved. I'm not saying that Jonah's prayer is wrong. It's just interesting given that his story contains idol-worshipping sailors and Ninevites who, having turned away from God's love, are now discovering God's love through Jonah. And while Jonah ran away from God, They are running back to God. Who is thinking straight in the story of Jonah? God? Yeah, obviously. Yeah. You choose that? Good work. The sailors? Surprisingly. But in a way, in the circumstance, it's logical, isn't it? The people of Nineveh. They have a very humble and right response to a holy but also loving God. Jonah. You could say that some of his thinking is very accurate, filled with truth. But there is a great disparity between his head and his heart and the heart of God. Jonah's conflicting thoughts of judgment, hate, revenge, and pride dominate. And they produce in him feelings and actions that shout out, God, you are wrong. And in the end, he even says so. So what are you thinking? In the series on Jonah, Love the World, we have some questions that we want to keep tuning over from week to week. And like an invitation to ask some questions of ourselves and of God. Just want to remind you of those. Here are the questions that we're going to continue to consider. The first one is this, that God is asking us this question. I love this world. Is that okay with you? And then this question, will you love this world too? We're not going to pause on those right now, but they're the questions we want to continue to consider. And here's the invitation, will you ask God to open your eyes to see your world and His world? Will you ask yourself, what do I think and feel about my world? Will you ask God to grow in you a love for the world? It's kind of easy to just answer that, isn't it? Oh, yes. But what would that look like for you? But these are the questions I want you to consider today. So take those others away with you. There's even some paper copies at the door. If you haven't got the app, you can grab those at the Connect desk. So you can have them with you and just be considering those. But these are the questions for today, which are also available at the Connect desk. And I guess as we come and go, what are you thinking? What am I thinking? These are the questions that I'd like you to consider right now and take into this week. How would I describe my basic thinking, my beliefs about God, my life, and this world? You know, like the sailors say to Jonah, who are you? Where are you from? Who are your people? What have you done? Like if someone was to ask you, who are you? What would your answer be? I mean, we've got an example there of Jonah. Jonah 1 verse 8, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah 4 and 2, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from the scene of calamity. This is Jonah's thinking. This is Jonah's belief. The question is, what is your thinking? What are your beliefs? I actually did this exercise this morning. I sat down with my journal and I wrote down who I am in regards to the person I am, the faith I have, the place I live, the life I want to live, and my relationship with the Lord Jesus and all of that, and what that means in relationship with others. To write down who you are, what you truly believe at your core, what you really think. But then here's question number two. What areas of my life are not aligned to my thinking and beliefs right now? You can just read the book of Jonah for an example of that. But what would that be in your life? Where would the disparity be between belief and reality, thinking and reality? And the last question, how might this impact the way I love God and His world? Because I want to tell you that if there's any difference, disparity between our belief and the reality, it will have an impact, a negative impact on how we love this world. So I just want to take a few moments. I'm going to pray soon, but this is really questions to ask yourself, I guess, this week. But even in this moment, it might not be that you answer all of them, but there may be a word, there may be a phrase that just comes to mind that you just go, that's who I am, that's at my core. Or there's disparity here. Or this impacts me in this way. Just take a few moments and just consider those questions. As we'd continue to think on those things and to challenge our thinking this week, I just want to invite you to stand with me as we pray. So please stand. And as I pray, I'm just going to pray this prayer twice through, just so I guess you can hear the words of this prayer. And then as I pray it a second time, if you want to, you can certainly make it your own. Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, land and sea, when my thoughts, feelings and actions come together for the good of another, love is expressed. God, may this be true of our lives as we seek to love our world as you do. Lord God of heaven and earth, of land and sea, when my thoughts, feelings and actions come together for the good of another, love is expressed. God, may this be true of our lives as we seek to love our world as you do.